So we're going to be in the book of Acts today. So if you have your Bibles, please open them up. We're going to start in Acts chapter 20. We're going to pick up at verse 32. And I'm going to prep you ahead of time. For those that want to stay with us afterwards, we're going to be doing an outreach. And this kind of, it actually ties in with our message today. So today we're going to be talking about being more blessed. How to be more blessed. Not what you think, probably. So Acts chapter 20, can you please stand with me? We're going to start reading from verse 32 and on, if you're able to stand. Acts 20, starting from verse 32, it says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me." Verse 35, by the way, it's displaying also on the display if you guys want, or you can read it in your Bible, which is better. Verse 35, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship." Please pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for this time that we could read your holy word. And Lord, we do pray that you would please teach us even these words. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, he says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Lord, help us as we serve you. Help us to understand, Lord, that your way is a self-sacrificial way. And if we claim to be followers of you, we need to follow the path that you're trying to lead us down. And you say in Luke's gospel, "If anyone wants to come after me, to deny self, take up our cross daily, and to follow you, Lord." Teach us, even as the Apostle Paul was speaking to and trying to minister to the elders, the leadership there, the servants at the church at Ephesus. You're trying to teach us today in today's church that we also need to deny self, God, to be able to serve others, to be able to be, even as Paul followed you, we want to follow his ways as well. These are principles that just come from you. So we ask that you please, Lord, minister to us, teach us your ways, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. And thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. So in our passage here, picking up in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is now saying goodbye. He's saying goodbye to the elders at Ephesus. And as he says goodbye, he's basically, just to summarize his chapter and what he's saying, he's telling them basically, teach through the entirety of God's word. He says in Acts 20, earlier we covered, "I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." And so the only way that you can actually speak and say that you gave the whole counsel of God is to give them the entirety of God's word, the Bible, right? That's what we need. So as we make disciples, Jesus said in Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So Paul tells them that as he's leaving them, and as if to say, do as I've done with you. I'm going to leave. You're not going to see my face anymore. That's what he's saying. Kind of a sad time, right? And he's saying his final goodbye, but he's telling them basically, do as I've done. Teach the entirety of God's word. Also, you need to be a shepherd. Guard God's church against false teachers. There's going to be some that actually rise up within and some that come from the outside. And you're going to see they're going to lead or lure the disciples away. Okay, so you and I, we need the Lord. We need to be guarded. We need his word. And then he mentions this as he's telling the story of himself. You saw what I've done. I've been with you 3 years. You saw my example. It's about giving. Now, oftentimes for us as Christians, we think giving is just a matter of financial giving. that's great, but this goes above and beyond what we call tithes, giving 10% of your income. It goes beyond offerings, which is beyond tithes. It goes beyond financial giving. What he's speaking of here, being the example and telling the elders at Ephesus, is that you need to serve by giving. Serving is giving. A ministry is to give. And think about this too, guys. Our God is a giving God, isn't he? He is, right? Amen? John 3:16, the centrality of the gospel, we might say, that one verse, it says, God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. Think about that. It's a giving love. This world only teaches you to accumulate, to take. Nobody's looking. Take. We've seen this past year or so. Defund the police, all these things that you hear of, and then what's happening to a lot of these large stores? Well, nobody's caring. Let's just take. That's the way of the world left unchecked. And we see it now on social media, sadly. And it's probably going to get worse and worse. How do you know that, Drew? Well, actually, the Bible predicts that. In the last days, people are going to be calling good, what? Evil, and evil is going to be called good. These things are celebrated, which is kind of weird, but God prophesied this already in the scriptures. So he's telling the elders at Ephesus, you saw my example, you need to serve by giving. And he quotes the words of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to bring this out because you don't find this in the Gospels. However, Paul the Apostle is quoting the words of Jesus here. It's not in the four Gospels. You do find this in the book of Acts, in Acts 20, where he quotes Jesus as saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, this is important for us to see because this is a principle. Because it's a life principle, certainly occurs in ministry, but you see it as a life principle, and what happens is, even in the world, you will see this principle take place. Even in the world, people know it's great to volunteer. It's great to give. It's great to do something for someone else. And even if someone is not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, even if they don't believe the Word of God, because it's a life principle, these things are actually ways of God to speak to that individual. This is why you'll find in the world, there's people that want to tap into this without even knowing Jesus and without believing in the Word of God. But this principle exists. So Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So as Paul's saying his goodbyes, he's telling them basically, again, just to sum it up, teach through the entirety of God's word like Paul did. Guard against the church. There's going to be false teachers. You'll see they're going to lead the disciples away. We've seen this here even time to time. And this happens in churches. And you need to serve by giving. So again, he's quoting the words of Jesus. Now, when it comes to this, I can't click through. Can you? All right. You got to be able to select the slide. No. Hold on a second. Okay. Can you leave it there? Thank you. All right, so in continue on, this is what the world teaches you and I. And you need to know this, because this has infiltrated the church. Not just this church, I'm saying like worldwide. Okay, and this is the reason why Paul is saying this to those that want to serve God. This is what the world teaches. The world teaches us how to be happy, right? The pursuit of happiness. See, we all know that, right? And you even hear it say, you could pursue happiness, but do you really get it? No, you don't. So it's a pursuit, an endless pursuit. Nonetheless, in America, these are our given rights. And this is how you could be happy, according to the world. Usually by possessing less pain and pursuing more pleasure. This is usually what the world teaches. Possessing less pain, things like less physical, emotional, mental pain. Some of us, you know, we work out with people, we work with them, oh, I just want less pain. That's great. Okay, we all want that. We all want less physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain. There's something broken in my heart. Help me get that fixed. We want less stress, less anxiety, less bills. Who wants like less of that? Who wants more of that? We don't want more of that. No. Less bills, less troubles, less headaches. We want less pains overall. So usually the world will teach us, and there's a lot of things like that, possess less pain in these areas and pursue more pleasure. How? More money. I want more earthly possessions. Like, I want a house. And once you have a house, I remember having a house in my name. And God told me one time, I was sharing with the men on Wednesdays, God was telling me, sell it. I'm like, what? And then give it away, too. Give away the proceeds. Like, you kidding me? And that runs totally opposite of the way of the world. And I'm not saying everybody's got to do that. That was my testimony, what God was doing with me. But that ran counterculture to what the world says. The world says that you have to possess things. You want to pursue these things. Once you got it, we want more, right? That's the flesh. It's never satisfied. More houses, a bigger house, a bigger car. Once you have a car, some of us guys know this. Once you have a car, some gals are like this too, but once you have a car, it's like, it's never good enough. And I was always out there. I had a convertible BMW, a 325 IC. I was out there. My friends would make fun of me. You're waxing your God. It might rain. And I found myself in that kind of rat race there. The world will also say, you know, get more jewelry, more investments. What does your portfolio look like? These are the things that are preached by the world. Have better health. Meditate. You need more inner peace. You know, these kind of things. And in general, you want an easier life so you can have more vacations, more time for self. This is what the world basically preaches. Possessing less pain and pursuing more pleasure. So the things of the Lord, though, they run totally counter, exactly opposite of what the Bible says and the ways of God and Jesus Christ. So let me do say at this juncture, while these might be good, you may be blessed to have these. There is a more blessed way. And I want to define something that we just looked at. To help define things, how would you define a life that's mostly motivated by the possession of less pain and the pursuit of more pleasure? The possession of less pain and the pursuit of more pleasure. That's a question. I throw that out there. What do you guys think that's called? First of all, do you guys know that this is pretty much what the world says, right? Right? You need to have less pain and more pleasure. Any guesses? What is that called? Happiness? What's that? Paradise? Lost paradise? Any other thoughts? Peace? What would you call this? Relaxation? All right, you guys are going to be surprised. You know what this is actually called? Hedonism! Do you know that? That's a definition of hedonism. You need to know this because the average Christian we find in America is actually worshiping a Greek god named Hedon. Do you know that? Maybe you didn't know that. If you didn't know this, this might be something you need to confess to God and repent from today. In Greek mythology, Hedon is a goddess of pleasure. Hedonism teaches pleasure is to be pursued and pain should be avoided. The life goal of a hedonist is to maximize pleasure and minimize pain. This might be a wake-up call for somebody here. This was for me once I understood this in theology, and when you're studying the Bible and the ways of Jesus Christ for apologetics, because there's a lot of Christians that are worshiping and following the wrong God. And so their whole life, this must be God's will because I get less pain and more pleasure. And yet I look at the cross of Christ and go, that didn't feel good to his flesh, did it? To have the nails go through it. So Christian, make sure you're worshiping and following the God of the Bible, not the God of this world. So that's hedonism, the pursuit of pleasure and the avoidance of pain. That's actually the definition of hedonism. So know this too, that as you and I serve this God of the Bible in a worldly city, not Ephesus back then, and even as Andy's teaching through Corinth or Corinthians, that's also a worldly city, a port city, kind of like how New York City is. When we serve in these worldly cities, just like it is in New York City, it's important for servants to remember that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So this is actually what Paul was trying to teach the elders at Ephesus. Thank you. Those that were serving in the church, hey, do as I did is what Paul's saying. You saw my self-sacrificial serving. I was there with you for 3 years. I taught through the available scriptures at that time. He said he taught, you know, the whole counsel of God. You saw my lifestyle and what I did. And remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. So that runs totally counterculture to our society, doesn't it? Because the world tells you to accumulate, to amass wealth and things and have inner peace, all these kind of things. And yet Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. But everybody loves a gift. Here's how ubiquitous this is. Who here loves getting gifts? We all do, right? We all do. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Here's actually one way that you do see this principle applied. You'll see it with parents. A lot of times we might, as a parent, as a grandma, grandpa, with others, you might get more joy out of giving a gift, say, to your child than you do receiving. As we get older, birthdays, it's like, I'm 53, I don't want to celebrate. Now, how do you put like 54 candles on a cake? That's like ridiculous. So you do get more joy out of giving and seeing the joy in your child or your grandchild or others. That's this principle. So this principle works. So you and I need to be those that understand that, hey, in the world, you and I may be blessed in earthly ways by possessing, and they're temporary. We might possess temporary things, okay? But to be more blessed, you could be blessed in things, but to be more blessed, hey, that's the way of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants for you. He wants for me. This is the way of God. Again, John 3, verse 16, the centrality of the gospel. God so loved the world, he gave. He's a giving God. And it's the kind of love that gives. Think about this. God so loved the world, he gave. And then Jesus came to this earth, speaking about himself, like in Mark's gospel. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but what? To serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. So God is about giving. Christ Jesus, he is also about giving, not taking. So his followers, one way that you could tell if they're truly following him, you and I will be givers. One way. We'll be givers. So the world can't teach us this. Please understand that. The world will try to tap into these principles, but we want to give honor, praise, and glory to God. So the more blessed way that you and I need to learn is that it is more blessed to give than to receive. The world can't teach you and I this. So how do we be more blessed? So I'm calling this today. How to be more blessed? The best way that we can teach this to disciples is, number one, like Paul says, and even about Jesus, be an example. Hey, how many of you parents, you know your kids will watch your example, right? You know that as a parent. And you, sometimes you see your faults and like, oh my gosh, I guess I do that. Especially if you see like acting a certain way, you see like a mirror image of them, don't you? So be an example, and then don't just be an example. Don't just tell them. You have to show them how to do it. Again, show them how to do that. Okay, that's discipleship. So this is what Paul is basically telling them. Hey, as I'm going to leave you, I showed you an example. I want you to go exemplify this now to the others. Be an example, but you got to show them how to do this. Real quickly, when I was living in a city called Rancho Santa Margarita in California. It's like a really long name. It's the longest name for a California city. In the 1990s, living in a city as a missionary. Going to a church called Calvary Chapel Rancho Santa Margarita. That was the one I was at prior to moving out. And I remember I had an apartment. Hey, Joe. I had an apartment. I had a roommate that was there. And he and I were single guys, both attending the church, serving, going to the Bible college. And it was a city. It was very expensive to live there like it is here. And young married couples populated that city. So we were there. Not very many apartments. That kind of lets you know how that city is. New York City apartments everywhere. But in that area, not very many apartments because it was like young married couples, pretty much. So he and I were some of the only singles around. Like the singles group in that church is a large church. Singles group, not too big. But I remember there was one day, it was a Thanksgiving. You know, we were sitting around thinking, like, oh, man, we're going to just sit around and just kind of be sorry for ourselves, because that's the day where you want to be with family and those kind of things. And he and I were just kind of broken in our hearts thinking, should we just sit around? Nah. Why don't we go and be a blessing to someone else? I didn't know that Jesus was teaching us this principle, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So we prayed, we discussed, like, hey, let's just go to the store, get some stuff, put it together, make some lunches up, and then go out and be a blessing to other people. So we got all these brown bags, you know, like lunch bags. We put together simple sandwiches. We'd even put... we got like cold cuts and cheese. We didn't put the mayonnaise on because, you know, if you have a sandwich outside for a couple hours, it gets yucky. So it's just two pieces of bread, like a slice of meat, like turkey or something simple, and then a slice of cheese, an apple, a gospel tract. Got to make sure to put that in. And I think maybe a napkin, but that was it. And we thought, why don't we just put together a lot of lunches and go see if anybody is just hanging out outside somewhere on Thanksgiving? Because if so, they're like us. They don't have family. And instead of me just sitting there and you just sitting there and going, wah, I'm sitting alone in this house thinking about myself, feeling sorry for myself. Let's go be a blessing to someone else. Again, we didn't know that God was actually teaching us this principle. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And we went out, we went to the Santa Ana area of Orange County. That's like the downtown area for Orange County, where they have the city buildings, the courts and all that. We found this large pocket of homeless people. It's actually homeless families. And it really broke our hearts because we saw, you know, that's the day where everything was shut down. It's Thanksgiving Day. And we saw, I remember a family with little children, like little girls, little ones. And they had a soccer ball. We're kind of playing around with them and all. And little kids, they're not thinking anything. Like, oh, it's Thanksgiving. They should be home with, you know, family and all. It just broke our hearts to think we could have been sitting at home feeling sorry for ourselves, and yet God was wanting us to go out and see there's people way off worse than us. But there was a pocket of a large, you know, group of people. California's like way worse now. There's like the homeless populations. There's tent cities and all. But this is before then. This is like the 1990s. So we went out there and just started handing out lunches, talking with people, and people were going nowhere. They were just hanging out there because of, you know, their safety in numbers. And it broke our hearts, and we were crying and thinking, wow, God, you're just teaching us how to be selfless. And I didn't know there's like a large amount of people out there in this day, like a Thanksgiving day. And we're really thankful for that. But God was teaching me not only this principle that is more blessed to give than to receive, he was also preparing me. So even as I share about like that type of lunch that we shared, that's actually the basis of when we came here, like, hey, let's just grab some stuff, get some people together, and start doing outreach. And I see what the Lord's done with this even today. Like, stay with us for those of you who want to serve with us. You know, Hattie's got a little form for you to fill out if you want to be with us. We're going to do Sidewalk Outreach right after service. It'll be the continuation of this service where God has blessed us with resources and we simply want to love and feed people. But the basis of this is Jesus had to teach me and still is teaching me that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so tap into that principle, would you? If you want to serve God, tap into that principle of giving, of being there for other people and not so selfish there for yourself. Because that was my problem. Anybody else suffer from that problem? That me, myself, and I, the unholy trinity of stupidity? We all do, right? So God was really working in my heart, teaching me this principle that it was more blessed to give than to receive. If we want to learn to be more blessed, we have to learn to give, even as Jesus said. Now, giving, think about this. It's a heavenly principle. Because the only thing that the world teaches you is to receive. And the world will even teach you not only to receive, go get it. And if you ain't got it, it's because you're not a go-getter. Anybody hear words like that? Usually the worldly ways. Those aren't the ways of Jesus Christ. Not the ways of God. They're not the ways of the Bible. The world can only teach you to receive. And if you don't get it, go take. And if not looking, keep taking until you get caught. That's the way of the world. Is totally opposite the ways of Jesus Christ. So we got to be careful. Proverbs 11, verse 25 says, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." And so by giving and by pouring into other people, tapping into these heavenly principles that the world cannot teach you, the interesting and unique thing is that God will actually pour into you, doesn't he? This is why we find when people go on missions or when people serve or even these outreaches, it brings a lot of joy, doesn't it? Just by loving people and pouring out, but you're tapping into this principle. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So again, God is a giver. You'll find that in John 3, verse 16. Can we say that? God so loved the world that he gave, okay, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God is a giving God. And Jesus is a giver. If you're taking notes, here's one. Mark 10, verse 45 again. Jesus teaches us that he's a giver. He's not a taker. Mark 10, 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." The ways of Jesus Christ are about serving, not being served. Anybody here ever work in a restaurant? I did. Some of you guys have. Okay, so you know when you go to a restaurant, I used to work in Claim Jumper in California. Welcome to Claim Jumper. I'm Drew. May I take your order? Now, how about if you sit down as the server, and you're there, someone comes in as the one that you are waiting on. Think of these terms, as a waiter, waitress. You're waiting on them. You sit down there, and you're ordering them. It doesn't happen like that, right? It happens the other way around because you're serving them. You're waiting on them. Literally, for myself, that's where God taught me how to serve people, literally. And you know how it is? You write down the order. I remember we had steaks and all those kind of things, prime rib. Ooh, prime rib, for those of you that like beef. Ooh, juicy. And they would order it, and we were trained to, okay, you write it down, you repeat it back to them, you get affirmation back. Oh, so you want that medium. Okay. Especially if it's something like you want it well done. Why? Because you get something well done, it takes a long time to cook. They come back, they change their mind, you got to throw that away. Okay. If it comes back to them and like, oh, I want it a little more, okay, they can maybe cook it up a little more. But you affirm that. Okay, so you want this medium. Oh, yes. And I learned that you come back to them, it's like, oh, don't you know I wanted that well done? You look at your notes. Yes, ma'am, I'll be right back. But you know what they said. You repeated it back. You wrote it down. You conveyed it to the kitchen. And you bring it out. You know, like they even put those little sticks in it sometimes for the steaks, right? Medium or whatever the case is. And you want to make sure. But I learned how to serve, even though people, they could, oh, I don't want it that way. I want it this way. Okay, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. And you go and you serve them. So the principle is basically carried out this way. As Christians, you and I must seek to minister to others rather than having others minister to us. And that's okay if that's where someone is at. Because, again, all of us have pretty much been served. All of us have sat in restaurants. Some of us love it. Who are the ones that worked in a restaurant? Any of you guys love it? I loved it. That was like my favorite job. Yeah. Even though sometimes people could treat you bad on the job, it's like it's a lot of fun. I thought it was. So you and I need to learn to serve others. Think about that term too. Serve, minister to others, wait upon others. So the followers of Jesus Christ, think about this. They're givers, just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So those that claim to be followers of Jesus were also going to be serving people. Okay, so all the disciples of Jesus were trained by him to be givers. And he's still training us, amen? He's still training me. I don't know about you guys. He's still training us. So before we go on, I want you to see, oh, can you click there? I'm not able to click through again. You guys got to stop. Okay, thank you. So Jesus showed his disciples how to be givers. So again, you don't want to just tell them. You have to be an example, and you have to show them. What is that, Drew? That's called discipleship. Is what Paul is speaking about here in Acts 20 to the elders of Ephesus. And it's also the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, I want us to look at this here. It's displayed on the screen. But Matthew 14. You've all probably heard of the feeding of the multitudes, right? Who here has heard of that? The feeding of the 5,000. Well, here's what it actually shows here. Matthew 14, verse 13 and on. Did you know that Jesus did not directly feed the multitudes? A lot of people don't know that. He indirectly fed the multitudes. He used the people to feed the other people. Matthew 14, verse 13, it says, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. Ooh. Now, another passage you'll see in the other Gospels will show you, as you put them all together, Jesus was, he was testing them. What should we do? Now, this was a home area for some of them. Andrew, Peter, James, John, Philip, they were kind of home now in this place. What should we do? And their response is, send them away. Now, I don't want to point a finger. You know why? This is me. Many times. Still is. When I look at the multitude of work, or even today, I think, how am I going to do this? If I look at things in only earthly eyes, I'll be like that. When it comes to loving people, serving them, feeding them, I'll look at myself and my circumstances, my pocketbook. I'll look at all the earthly variables that tell me no. Because the world says, no. The world says, take, not give. And if you're like me, where you sometimes wrestle with God on these things, then perhaps it might minister to you. Even in the Rockaway. Some of you guys know that, you know, we met you around the Rockaway times, for some of you that went with us. Some of you heard me, and I'll say it again. I'm still in training, because when post-Superstorm Sandy, when Sandy hit, and God was calling us to go down south in the Rockaways, God used this little church here to do very large things. And I was telling him, kind of like the disciples in Matthew 14, send the multitudes away. And God was blessing us. He actually had a 5-acre property of land that he gave to us to use. Where are you going to go to New York City to get 5 acres? 5 acres of property. Think about that for New York City real estate. Incredible. So someone was willing to bless us with that. And in my heart, I'm thinking, I don't have time. This is going to be expensive. We had our little baby Christina that was just born. There's just too much going on. And in my heart, I was kind of arguing. If you could hear inside my heart, it sounded like this. Wah! Because I didn't have time. And I was thinking too much of self. And I felt like the disciples, send the multitudes away. Send them away. And look what Jesus says. Verse 16, but Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And so I can guarantee you that the disciples then probably felt like you and I do today. It's like, say what? Did he say what I thought he said? We're telling him, send them away. Doesn't he understand our counsel? There's 12 of us and only one of him. Send them away. No, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Doesn't he understand? I'm from this area. There's nothing open. It's like relatives coming to you in your town. It's like, okay, even the bodega's closed. There's nowhere to go. What does he mean? You give them something to eat. It's late at night. I can't go to the market. I can't get all this stuff. Like, that's incredible. It's not going to work, Jesus. By the way, has anybody ever had God tell him these kind of things? That happens all the time in ministry. Obey the leading of the Spirit. Don't look at just your earthly variables. My bank account has this much, or I don't have enough time, or they're all, do you notice they're all self-centered things? As I'm saying this to you, this is my confession too, that we did this. I still do this at times. I'll freak out in my heart. I'm like, okay, I don't have time. No, but we need to love the people of New York. They need help. They need hope. They need healing. And we're going to do that today, God willing. So Jesus says, you give them something to eat. You know, between verse 16 and 17, we don't know how long of a pause that was. And we don't know how much they were arguing in their heart, like how I do at times. I'm just confessing to you the reality of it. It could be ugly. You give them something to eat. They said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. So the other gospels will tell you, Jesus is basically saying, what have you got? So here's the principle. What do you currently have? It's not talking about just finances. A lot of times we think it's just money. Take inventory of where you're at, of what you have. At the time of Moses, God was asking him. Remember that passage in Exodus where Moses was arguing with God? God wants to use his life. He's like, I can't speak. It's like, okay, what's in your hand? It's a shepherd's staff. Give it to me. So the reality is, take inventory, so to speak, of what God has already given you. And for most of us, it might simply be this. I just have my heart. I just have myself. I just have my time. And you know what the reality is? When you're serving God, the main thing you give to him is your availability. Not your ability, your availability. You give him your availability, he'll make you able. But if you argue with him at times, and I'm just confessing, a lot of times I did and I still do. Lord, teach me again, it is more blessed to give than to receive, because I can get so selfish. Still, and you need to train me, Lord. So the other passage mentions that they're taking inventory. Okay, what is it we got? We know that the whole multitude of people that were there, about 5,000 men, there's women and children too. So imagine about 20,000 people. About 20,000 people. They take inventory, what do we got? Basically, like a Lunchables. Like a kid's lunch. When it says 5 loaves of bread, these are small. It's not like a loaf of bread, like you're like, oh, a big sourdough loaf. No, it's these little things. And 2 fish. These are small fish. Like, again, like a kid's lunch. Imagine like a Lunchables or something like that. You see a young lad. Bring him here. Bring it. Give it to me is what Jesus is saying. So you and I, it might not be so much the material wealth or possessions we have. I mean, we've got a lot here in this church. Praise God for those that give. We got a lot of things. What God is wanting more is our hearts, doesn't he? Amen? How many of us know that? He's really looking for your heart. Do you have a heart to serve him? Or are you looking at only your earthly potential? Because these are heavenly spiritual principles that he wants you and I to learn and to step into. And I'm telling you, we see it here over and over and over and over again. I saw it there with my friend Keegan, that my roommate in California in the 1990s. I saw it here when he moved me out here post 9/11. I was stationed in Manhattan. We had the closest relief site to Ground Zero. It became a Calvary Chapel relief site. And we saw these missionaries come in. We saw people bring tons of items to give out. And we're like, where does all this stuff come from? I don't know. We see it here, like post-Superstorm Sandy. A truck used to come once a week. Can you remember that, right? Full of stuff to deliver. And we still get it here. And they tell us they're going to keep bringing things. And I think, wow, how is it that God does this? I don't know. I just know that my struggles are, I keep telling Jesus no. And the Spirit of God keeps overriding that. No, you give them something to eat, but I can't. That's correct, though. In my own strength, I can't. And you, in your own strength, you can't. But God, praise be to God, that he can, and you can do all things, like Paul says, through Christ, who does what? Who strengthens me. That's Philippians 4:13. So Christ is going to strengthen you and I to do his will. So notice what he says here in verse 18. He said, bring them here to me. So take inventory of what you have. It might be simply your heart. All I have is myself and my heart, my available time. You know what Jesus will say? Give it to me. No, no, I don't want to. But I have all these excuses why I can't serve him, why I won't follow him, why I won't step into that principle of where he says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you're just like me. Where he's going to bring you to the crossroads in your life, and he's going to ask you, will you follow me? Or are you going to keep following the the God called Hedon. And that's the reality, right? Where all of us look at, no, that's going to be more painful. And no, that's not the path for more pleasure. And at the end of the day, I don't want you to be victimized by Satan where you're actually following Satan, because he's going to get you and I to worship and follow self. Any of us figured that out? That's the trap, isn't it? The self trap. So Jesus says, you want to be a follower? Luke 9:23, deny self is the first thing. So he says to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. The second thing he says in verse 18, bring them here to me. Take inventory of what you got. For Moses, it was a staff, shepherd's staff. Give it to me. Allow God to use it. At the time of this story here in Matthew 14, well, we've got this little kid's lunch. Give it to me. Now, what's he going to do when you give him yourself or your time or your lunch or the resources we have here? He's going to multiply this, doesn't he? Now, I want to say this, and I think for this church, you and I must keep seeing this, because I think Jesus keeps blowing away our minds. I see that, right? It's like we see that over and over. Ephesians 3, he is a God that will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. It's crazy the amount of things that God funnels through our church. And I realize the more that we give, the more that somehow this God that's a God of giving, he keeps giving to us. I don't know how that works. And it's not for you and I to figure out. In fact, you can't. If you can figure it out, it's not of God. But this is his heavenly principle. And we see it even here. Look at this in verse 19. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. Again, like I opened by saying, did you know the feeding of the multitudes, Jesus did not directly give to the people. Jesus indirectly gave to the people, and he does it through you. This is how he did it with the disciples. We took inventory. All we have is these 5 loaves and 2 fish. Here you go. You say, bring it to you. We want to give it to you. All I have is my heart. All we have is these resources that we have now. Jesus will say, give it to me. And what does he do? He takes it from you. He blesses. Look at the order. He takes it. He blesses it to the Father. He breaks it and gives it. And then what happens when they're out? They keep going back between the crowd and Jesus. This is exactly what happens when ministry, if you call ministry, serving Jesus, as it goes forward. He takes you, he blesses you to the Father, he breaks you in it. Many times it's for us, it's he breaks us of self, doesn't he? And he gives you to the people. No, I would rather just give money. It's a tax write-off. No, I don't have time. You do that. No, but he wants you to partake in that blessing, doesn't he? Because as he's using you to pour out to the people, guess who's blessed in it? Now, those that don't serve God, those that never step into this principle, you're not going to understand this. You're just like, oh, no, I'll give. You go do that. I'll provide and you go disperse it. But Jesus wants you to understand this principle. Not just the Apostle Paul, not just the elders at Ephesus that we read about in Acts 20. He wants you and I to step into this principle that it is more blessed to give than to receive. The world can only teach you how to be blessed, but Jesus wants to teach you and I how to be more blessed. Amen? And it's found not in just taking and amassing, but in giving. And I stand here as testimony to you, and you can see even around here. I mean, we get trucks that'll come by that they'll donate the driver, the truck, trucking it in, and most of the time they're going to give us like 8 pallets of stuff for free. They would deliver more if we can handle it. I'm like, how does that happen? I don't know. Because we don't have to pay for that. We don't even pay for the driver. And we see it like over and over throughout the years. I saw that over and over and over and over again, because our God is a giving God. My point is, I think he's trying to teach me and teach you and I, for some reason, this little fellowship, he's teaching us this principle. And I don't know about you, but I think I'm barely getting it. Because I still got to go, okay, I don't have time, but okay, forgive me, God. I know you taught me this dozens of times out here. Let me learn yet again. I need to keep pouring out to the people. And for some reason, somehow, he's it's just his principle. He's chosen his church to keep blessing the multitudes. And the disciples gave to the multitudes, it says at the end of verse 19. And in verse 20, so they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Notice this in verse 20, it says that they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. How many disciples were there? 12. Part of the miracle that happened, again, and this is the principle, it's more blessed to give than to receive. If they would have just stopped and said, no, we're not going to give. We got a kid's lunch. It's physically impossible. We can't do it. End of story. We're going. You could do what you want, Jesus. I'm not going to do it. They would have never stepped into this blessing. So part of what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you and I, just like the disciples back then, experienced, is that this is not a head knowledge type of learning. It's not just an intellectual learning. This is an experiential learning. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So at the end of it, by them being involved in serving the people and stepping in, applying their faith, I'm running out. Okay, let's go back to Jesus. He takes it. He blesses the Father, breaks it, gives it back to them. They keep going between Jesus and the crowds, Jesus and the crowds. Whenever you're empty, go back to Jesus. He fills you up. He's going to break you in it, bless you in it, gives you out to the people. You're going to be empty. This is the cycle of ministry. And at the end of it, guess what feeds, guess what takes care of you and I? It's Jesus. But we need to step into that blessing. The word will say, no, it's more blessing to take. They're handing out, you just take. Stand in the take line. But Jesus wants you and I to get out of the take line and into the giving line. That's where the blessing is. It is more blessed to give than to receive. In verse 20 again, they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. I'm testimony to that. And any missionaries that live by faith, they'll tell you that, I don't know how Jesus does this, but he keeps providing. You know, things will change as time goes on, but he keeps providing. He just always, always does that. Again, he's the God that will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That's Ephesians chapter 3. I don't know how he does it. I just know he does it. Does that make sense? And I can't figure it out. But I'm here as his representative to tell you, we need to keep giving. We need to keep pouring out to the people. Again, in Christendom, we think giving is just, okay, giving finances. This is not speaking of just that. It's not speaking even directly about that. Paul is telling them, quoting the words of Jesus, keep loving the people. Keep pouring out to the people. You have to be selfless when you're serving the people. You're going to have complaints like I do, like I'm sure the Apostle Paul did. Look, I got this bump on the back of my head where they threw a rock at me and they killed me. And I'm still loving the people. I'm still pouring out. And miracle of miracles, somehow, as we serve the Lord and we give to the people, that's what feeds us. Or you can go life like a hedonist, where you're going to amass wealth for yourself, pursuit of more pleasure, less pain, because it's all about taking care of number one, is what the world will say. And that runs total polar opposite of what Jesus and God are about and what the Bible teaches. So as we pour out to the people and as we give, keep giving to them, Jesus keeps providing. Guess what? You and I are going to be there in verse 20, even today. Somehow, I don't know how he does it. That it's going to be that which feeds us because we're stepping into that principle. So I can't tell you this principle, but if you allow us to, let us show you this principle. And let me say here as we're going to close, and then I want to pray for those that want to be part of the outreach that we're going to do today. Let God use us to show you how to be more blessed by serving, by pouring out to other people. Think about that. By serving other people, you got to get over your own complaints of self. God, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. We all have that. I still have that. I had that before I moved from California to here. And yet, I know that Jesus is trying to teach me this principle. I'm just like you. I still have those choices. And some of you guys don't know this. I'm still a volunteer in this church. 20 years now coming here for this church plant. technically, I'm still a volunteer. So I still have that choice in my heart. Do I want to get up and serve Jesus and serve you? Or am I just going to be all about self? I want to step into that blessing. I want to be more blessed, like Jesus said. So can God use us in this church to love one another? I see it over and over. My encouragement to you is that you would choose to do that. That'll be your choice, though. So serve others in the church. Give to others, even in our outreach. So we want to be used of God, just like Paul's mentioning, just like Jesus is trying to teach them, even in the feeding of the multitudes. Again, notice he didn't feed them directly. He fed them indirectly. And at the end, they're probably all astonished, like standing around going, look at this basket. How did I get this? I thought we started with a little bit, but each of us at the end, each person at the end ended up with more individually than they collectively had to start out with. And folks, we see that all the time with all these resources. He keeps multiplying the fish and the loaves. I don't know how he does it. I just know he does it. So we're going to close here. And I want to pray to close this service time as far as the Bible teaching time. And after I do, I want to invite those that want to be part of the outreach to come forward. I want to pray for you that we can be used of God to pour out to the people right here on the sidewalk. And then the service is going to continue on the sidewalk. So let's all stand, please, can we? Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. We ask, Lord, that you would teach us that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Help us, Lord, equip us for today's outreach. I pray, Father, that you would protect each of us, that you would keep providing for our church, keep providing for the individuals. Lord, just like the elders of Ephesus, the servants of that church, you're teaching us as the servants of this church that same principle. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And Lord, help us to put our faith into action, to be love in action today, that we would go out and love the people that are right here, that are walking by our sidewalk or driving by in the street, that we could love them. And God, I know that even as the disciples had in the end of the story in Matthew 14, each of them had a basket full of food. I know that you're going to feed us. You're going to provide for each of us. And that's part of the miracle, that you're going to show us right here and now today that it is more blessed to give than to receive. But we ask for your empowerment, for you to equip us and prepare our hearts, Lord. We ask that you prepare us and prepare the hearts of all those that we come across today, Lord, that our lives could give you much glory. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.